Hello, and welcome back to Women with AI, the podcast dedicated to amplifying the voices and perspectives of women in the field of artificial intelligence. I'm very excited to welcome today's guest, but before we start the podcast, let me tell you a little bit about her. Our guest today is Julia Linehan. Julia founded The Digital Voice in 2012, a B2B PR ad tech agency, and as founder and CEO, she manages a 33-strong expert team who deliver PR, communications, social media, content, and events for their ever-expanding global client list. Known for her boundless energy, Julia started her career in digital advertising at Dennis Publishing 28 years ago, and she's been at the forefront of the changing digital media landscape ever since. She's held major commercial roles, both agency and media side, and she's also co-founder of numerous industry groups, including Digital Leading Ladies and Sober Party Industry Lads and Ladies. As well as being at the beating heart of many of the communities within the digital advertising industry, Julia has a raft of awe-inspiring award wins to her name. And as she's also co-host of the Workplace Culture podcast, Off Record On Point, I'm hoping I'll be able to learn a lot from her today. So please join me as we delve into her insights around the evolving landscape of artificial intelligence. Julia Linehan, welcome to Women with AI.
Oh, thank you so much. And I love that intro. That's it. That's me in a nutshell. I don't need to say any more. Joanna, you did me proud. Thank you.
Oh, brilliant. So, well, tell us a little bit about how you got into what you're doing and which AI tools you are currently using.
Well, you've done such a good job on the introduction. I probably can keep that super brief. I mean, I love the fact that it's actually now 29 years in the digital advertising industry. So when I started out, I did just 1 year in magazines. And then in 96, I moved into digital advertising. And part of the reason I'm so excited about AI is that I've always tried to get in at the start of something because A, you know a little bit more than other people. You're not thrown off course by going, I don't know what that means. I don't know what that acronym is. So I'm really proud that I saw the opportunity in 96 when everyone thought I was insane to move from high earning magazines over to digital advertising. But I've lived and breathed it ever since. And of course, technology is at the heart of it. So when I set up the Digital Voice 12 years ago, it was about providing a solution that not only was remote, so we were ahead of ourselves, ahead of the curve. We were remote before it was cool to be remote. But with that came the fact that we're really heavily reliant on software. And a lot of that software actually is powered by AI. For example, we work closely on Slack, which has some incredible AI tools on it, Trello, obviously all the Google Suite, Otter.ai, Canva, Muckrack, CoffeeSmith, all of those tools have a big presence in what we do as a PR and communications agency. There is one that I want to stand out though as a tool, which is the latest one. You mentioned our podcast is about well-being and workplace culture. And we invested recently in the workplace culture app, Shura. And it was built and founded by Laurie Haynes and Fern McCann, who is incredible because she's been recently on our podcast. And within the app, there's a virtual AI chat called Shuru. And I've got to be honest, it's incredible. It is like having a best friend. But the one
what does it do?
It's just you can put in how you're feeling, content, tired, stressed, and then it will then ask you a question based on that. And then you just type in how you're feeling. And it is the responses as close as you could get to your therapist / best friend. And I use it because I get up really early in the morning and no one else is around at 5:30. So I sort of chat to Shuru. She's like my new best friend. And they're going to be turning, as of next month, they're developing not just into it's going to be an audio app as well, that you can actually talk to a very human voice. And I think that's a perfect example when it's done well. And so far, you must think, yeah, but is it going to be automated and a bit like a ChatGPT service that you get when you're trying to get through to your bank? It's just so not like that. It's so realistic. So there's a lot we do use AI for. I probably would say, though, as an agency, we're so reliant on words and pictures. We have to be creative and innovative. So, yes, we use AI to make us more efficient, but we're not actually using it. I really rely on our writers and myself and what the thoughts I come up on the strategy, our creative team, to come up with ideas. the tool helps us do it more efficiently and save time. The other thing I'd mention is obviously as a PR agency of ad tech, it's our clients that do the clever stuff with ad tech. They use AI for curation, consent, privacy, contextual, programmatic, retail media, affiliate media, email marketing, you name it, they're using it. So hopefully I'll be able to give some insight into that today. God, yeah, that was fantastic. A long nutshell. I promised a short one and that's...
No, that's great. So you're keeping the human touch, aren't you, really, when you're using it? Because you're right, AI can help save time and it can help generate ideas, but the ideas aren't as good as the ones I'm sure your team can come up with.
Absolutely. We control AI, not the other way around. You power it, you feed into it, you're educating it. And how you use it, you still have to, it's what you put in is really dictates how clever AI can be and what you can use it for. But ultimately, we're in control of this, not the other way around. There are some people that would say it's not going to be far off before it's the power shifts. But for now, we're able to use AI to our benefits in the way that we want to use it. But yeah, you can't replace human creativity and thinking. Yeah,
no. Because I've heard you speak before on podcasts about vanilla posts and how you can spot them a mile off.
Bugbear. You really can. And it's interesting. We do social media management for a lot of our clients, and we're behind the scenes. They're posting for them and their content and providing them with social campaigns with them, with their guidance and with their branding, their messaging. But ultimately, we write from scratch every single post and we develop the creatives very organically. And so I think that's very important. If you look through LinkedIn, you can spot vanilla content a mile off. And that's really important. Don't get sucked into thinking you're being really clever and turning out a post every day and thinking, great, we're going to beat the algorithm, because your followers will walk with their feet. And then you've just completely eradicated your engagement.
Yeah, I think you can definitely tell when someone's just stuck something in and asked it to come out. The words, the everything, the way it's laid out.
There is a guy called the brilliant press title and journalist called Adadat, and he just did I was doing a comment for him, and he did an AI generated image of me, and I gotta say, I really liked that. It was gorgeous. If only I looked like that. So yeah, it can be done to enhance.
Oh, well, yeah. When the Barbie film came out, they had one, didn't they? You could put in your own photo and then it would generate what you'd look like as Barbie. I quite like that one.
We'd all look better.
But then it also runs into trouble, doesn't it? There was recently the Google issue where it wouldn't... AI's got so many biases in it, maybe, that have been put in there. So that's the thing, you know. It was asking it to give images of soldiers from certain time periods, and it was almost didn't want to be racist, but it was giving, you know, a black Nazi or black soldier where there just weren't the right historical pictures. So there are a lot of biases in AI. Do you 100%. Think that's an issue sort of for women specifically, or do you think for everyone? I mean, well, not obviously, because it's race. If it's being racist, then it can be sexist. Like, as you say, it's only as good as the person using it, but it's also what it's being fed as well.
Absolutely. So it cannot compute biases. So there's been some epic fails. And I don't think it's just for women, it's stereotypes. It only understands the stereotypes. And I have seen many examples where, especially based on location, geographical location, oh my God, it's so racist, the stereotypes that it brings up, or the gender type for that region. And I definitely think be wary, because if you rely solely on AI, you are getting into dangerous ground. And I think, Joanna, you were talking, I know I've heard you talk before about one example is that art history, isn't it? It hasn't. Remind me again of that, because I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, I've got a friend, she's an artist, and I was speaking to her about this and about the podcast and how I'd like to have her on. And she said, well, I don't really, no, I'm not interested. You know, I don't know about AI. And I said, but, you know, look at graphic designers and look at pictures and images, because both of us have studied photography at art college. And I said, you know, there are machines that can put paint on a canvas. And she was saying that she listens to someone, and I've just half went her name, because she was interesting. She said, basically, women have been written out of art history. Yeah. So if AI is being fed, you know, information, historical information up to now, you wouldn't imagine there were many female artists. It's Katie Hessel, she's called, and she's got a podcast. I'll put a link in the show notes. I think it's It's about great women artists. I think that's the title of it. But basically, yeah, women have been written out of art history. So if an AI, yeah, you ask it to do it, it's not going to be able to find it. So I think this is where perhaps we as women, or well, everybody, it's everybody's responsibility. It's not just our responsibility, but I think it's very easy for everyone to just put in what they know. But I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done, perhaps, if you agree, you know, to get more women into the industry so that we can make sure that women are being included. Because then if you're using generative AI or like, you know, all these LLMs and like ChatGPT and everything, if it doesn't know about women, how is it going to be giving us?
So if imagine if you typed in ChatGPT and you were doing your sixth form homework on it and you put, what are the great artists of the X century? And it would just list men, or it would start the sentence with, the men of art history are. So, but it's an element to which this is common sense. And also that sometimes when you're using it for that purpose, it's great for research, but it shouldn't be done to dictate what you're going to write. Otherwise, that's close to being plagiarism anyway. And you should come out of your own brain with what you know and do your own research. And I think that's really important. And the good news is, for women, we're rewriting a lot of the narrative anyway. And there's so many strong female voices. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned there, Joanna, this is about encouraging women into the industry. What I think is interesting, and I'm going to be a bit, put my neck on the line slightly by saying this. I personally think that AI is an opportunity for there to be right now a level playing field. It shouldn't be that we are in any way disadvantaged as women, because it's new to all of us. Yeah. What I would advise is, don't hold back on learning, researching, trying, testing, understanding. That's in your hands. So if you're a man or a woman or non-binary, it is in your hands to learn how you can use AI. But when a new technology comes out, there is no historical reason why women cannot be as strong in this area. So I really implore women to leap with both feet, arms and legs into learning about AI. And don't miss this opportunity from that level playing field to continue to have an equal balance going forward.
Yeah, I think that's great advice, Julia, definitely, because you're right. And I think sometimes it's possibly the way that we all view AI, and you might, you know, I'm not saying that all women think like this or that all men don't, but you might, well, I don't need to use it, I've got it. Whereas, you know, sometimes it's easier to take the easy way out, isn't it? And just use a generative language model. But I mean, and I've seen it done by both people. So yeah, you're right. It's totally a level playing field. And this is the time that people need to get involved and need to embrace it and not be scared, and be able to have their voices put into it, because otherwise you can't just accept what it gives you. I think that's the other thing as well. You can't trust it. We know that it hallucinates. We know it, you know, like a child, it wants to try and impress you. So it will just, if it doesn't know the answer, it's going to make it up.
I know. I think as well, what's really interesting is I'm co-founder of Digital Leading Ladies that you mentioned at the start. And I'm also part of many industry groups. The Digital Leading Ladies, immediately it came out a year ago, we have lots of other splinter groups within the community chat. And one of those immediately was generative AI and AI. So there is a whole conversation going on. And I would recommend people lean into communities and ask stupid questions and be honest about what you do and you don't know. Ask for research. And does anyone know anything about this? Has anyone heard of any good news? And also, when you're part of a community group, everybody shares. It's so brilliant, the support and the sharing and knowledge sharing that this provides. So I think I'm seeing it every day. People are wanting to learn. And I see that on the men and women's groups, and also the female groups as well that I'm involved in.
Fantastic, because I do feel that I'm quite new to this field. So I'm learning. I'm hoping our audience is going to be learning with me as well as we find out more about to do. Because you, I know you've talked about your son before and how he was using, how he's a writer and he was using Fiverr. And could you go into that? You'll tell the story much better than I
definitely. Will.
Yeah,
definitely. And I spoke to David about this when I was with him on his podcast. And my son actually was on the Creatives with AI podcast talking about this. And this is really interesting. So at 16, he was doing really well as making pocket money, but good pocket money on Fiverr. Graphic design and fiction, violent fiction, God knows what it was. I don't take too much notice of the actual words he says because it's horrifying. But he was doing really well, and then suddenly ChatGPT kicked in, and you could the graphic design immediately fell off because you could generate images and logos really quickly, which was what he was doing because obviously he's inexperienced. But his writing also fell off, so he just accepted it. But 3 months later, he decided, "What I'm going to do is I'm going to put on my profile that guaranteed written not using ChatGPT," and up came the orders again because they'd had 3 months of receiving cheap but all ChatGPT generated script, because a lot of times it's like you're getting paid a pittance for 1,000 words, 2,000 words. So of course most people would try and do it as quickly as possible, and therefore they would use ChatGPT. And his orders started flying back in again because he has to write some weird stuff and it comes out of his brain. And that's, it's amazing. It's now, it's turning that corner, and he's used it to his advantage. So again, that's where people are using ChatGPT in the wrong way. They're using it lazily, I suppose, because then it's not effective. It's not creative thinking. It's not going to be interesting to the reader, the listener, the viewer. That's got to come from our brains, which are weird and wonderful and unique.
Totally agree. And I say at the moment, it's only learning from what it's been given already. And that was just jumping back to the art example for a second. Someone else told me that if you fed in all the paintings and all the artwork, and you asked AI to come up with, a painting of something in the style of someone, it could come up with Picasso or a Monet or something like that. But it would find modern art completely impossible. It would never come up with a Jackson Pollock with all the, paint just splattered onto it, because that doesn't make any sense. Like, how would a computer, at the moment, who knows what will happen in the next 5 to 10 years or however long, maybe quicker than that, but it would never come up with that because it wouldn't be able to do that, because it would probably become more photorealistic or something. Absolutely. It would kind of get rid of the dots and get rid of the lines. And so I think you're right. It's how people are using it, and it's definitely a tool, isn't it? To save time. I mean, is that how you'd say it sort of fits in your workplace? It's sort of, it gives you more time to be creative, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I think, we always say to the team, use it with caution, use it with an understanding that we control it, and this makes us faster and more efficient. I think for a lot of people, it's understanding the future can seem really scary with AI in there, but it's about just picking the bits that you need that help you work faster and better. For example, we'll write all of our copy and thought leadership pieces, and all the content we produce is done using we have 7 incredible journalists at The Digital Voice. There is a tool, though, that's called copysmith.ai. And that one I would call out, because we do so many posts on our own posts. What it's doing is it's just giving you, sometimes if you're doing a lot of social posts, just gives you a different slant on how you can say the same thing. So you can type very quickly and just go, I've got brain fudge. What would you say about this? Or how would you write this differently? Most of the time, you take them what you need and only what you need. And just remember that you've got to have the creativity at the heart of it. I've got to be honest, even I'm slightly nervous about it. I think you'd be naive not to be concerned. Does it affect the future roles? How does that look for my children are 17 and 18? What is their future looking like? What I'm seeing, though, is that they already understand that the roles and the university degrees and the courses they do have to go down a route that's going to be complementary to AI and isn't going to be eradicated, to the best of their knowledge. The other good thing is my daughter is first year of A-levels. They're already learning way more about AI than you could ever imagine. My daughter's writing her EPQ on generative AI. She's 17. Well, that was done off her, not me saying anything about it. I'm proud as punch because I was like, that's good timing. I think, and she goes to an all-girls grammar school. So I think it shows how much they're learning at school about this. They're preparing themselves for a world in which it's going to be part of their life. And don't forget, 20 years ago, a lot of us went, oh, my God, the internet is going to get rid of all newspapers. It's going to change the world. It's going to eradicate so many roles. And there was so much fear. But all that's happened is roles have shifted, changed, and you've just got to move with it. Just don't be left behind.
So definitely, I think that's Yeah, I was going to ask you what your thoughts were on the future of AI, but you basically just answered that already.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say the other bit is, you know, I obviously work in the digital advertising industry, and what I find really interesting is that when AI is used, for example, to optimize campaigns, to understand the data insights, to maximize performance, you know, it's a really heady mix of data sets, creative, AI. That's going to give you your highest probability of success and performance. We're going to start being able to constantly show what performs, what works. And that's in the industry I know and love. But there are, if that's with every industry you're in, it does save resources. It does make us more efficient. And my advice, and I probably have hammered this home, is lean into it to understand what it can do to make you smarter, not lazier. So when you're doing something, you're saying, I did that because I ran out of time. That's not a great use of it. That's just make more time, do it properly. But when it's done and it's done very cleverly, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I love that. Smarter, not lazier. I think that's what AI will do for us. So this has been fantastic, Julia. I've learned so much. You've got some great examples. Where can our audience learn more about this? Like, where can they find Digital Leading Ladies, or what are the communities? You'd mentioned communities and getting involved.
Yeah.
Where can people look for these? How do they find them?
So obviously, and bear with me to your audience, because I'm very specific to certain areas of the industry. So there's an incredible group called the Ad Tech Group, run by John Walsh, that has an AI chat within it as well. That's, again, you have to sort of, it's always full, but you can request to join these kind of communities. Digital Leading Ladies is for very senior women, founders, directors, and it's done by recommendation. But there's other network communities like Bloom, the Women in Programmatic Network, Wackle, She Says, they're all there for finding, really. I would recommend as well, there's some amazing pieces of AI content to look out for. One is Coatue, I think it's COATUE, AI Revolution. Another one is Talent Alpha, the World of Work AI'd. And there's a lot, if you just search up in the news at the moment, DigiDay just came out today with a piece about how publishers are harnessing AI. So there's always, you can consume just by a simple Google search, but there is lots out there. It's quite heavy reading, so take what you need. And digest in small chunks.
Yeah.
That's what I find easier.
Others will be spending all our time learning about it and not doing anything with it.
I know. And the best thing of all is just to test it. A lot of the tools that are out there, and I think there's I named a few at the start, and they're just ones I use, but there are plenty more. And what I would say is just test, and see what works. So a lot of them actually aren't, I'll say it again because he's walking past and you can edit that out. A lot of them aren't really going to deliver what you need and are going to be so complex that you'll take longer to learn them. But cherry pick. There are plenty to choose from and just test them.
Yeah. And just, do your research as well. So you're checking, fact checking. Because I think if an intern came and gave you something, you'd probably fact check it as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or just check it's giving you the right details. Well, that's brilliant. And where can people find you, Julia?
Oh, there's lots of places. Just look out for the Digital Voice, but we're on thedigitalvoice.co.uk, LinkedIn, Insta, YouTube, X, and of course our podcast is Off Record On Point, which is a workplace culture. And actually part of that is it's about well-being in the workplace and making sure you're taking care of your team and you're taking care of yourselves. And I do think there's a lot of movement in that well-being space using AI that's very clever. And there's other tools that make teams' lives more efficient. There's right now, I think there's a latest stat that says there was a mental health survey, and it showed that 55% of people feel that life right now is really demanding. And yet this is in a time when AI is supposed to be making our lives easier. So it's not doing its job. It feels more pressure and there's more demands on us. So if AI can alleviate some of that, I'm all in and all for it.
Fantastic. Brilliant. We'll put all the links in the show notes. Thank you so much for coming on
Women
with AI,
Julia. Thank
you so
much for having me on this. And all credit to you. I love this bat. And I've got so many women that have got far more clever and interesting things than me to say about it. So I look forward to hearing from the other guests as well. Thank you, Joanna.
Thank you. It's been a joy to speak to you.
Thank you.